You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Last year, people in Albion voted to let the neighboring district of Marshall take over their struggling public schools. That decision changed the lives of kids and families in Albion in profound and complicated ways. Today, we return to Harrington Elementary. It's the Marshall District's only elementary school in the city of Albion. And students at that school had a rough first year as part of Marshall Public Schools. But this year, the district promises big changes. Michigan Radio's April Van Buren tells us how it's going so far.
I love it.
It's September 5th, the first day of school at Harrington Elementary in Albion. There are around 100 men, and a few women too, lined up outside the front door. They are all dressed to the nines. Most are wearing dress shirts and ties. Some have on full three-piece suits, and a few veterans are there wearing their uniform. Albion City Manager Cheryl Mitchell filmed a Facebook Live video of the whole thing. The first buses start to arrive. Kids come out with their new haircuts and their new backpacks. As they head inside, they're greeted with cheers and high fives. There are big smiles all around. It's a new year at Harrington Elementary. But for some families, the challenges of last year are still front of mind. And so for them, this is also a make or break year. It's the school's last chance to convince them to keep their kids here, in Albion, in their neighborhood school. I'm April Van Buren, and this is Undivided from Michigan Radio. The past few years have brought change after change for students living in Albion. Many families were hoping annexation would bring some stability. And that's what Marshall Public Schools is promising at Harrington this year. We'll get to how the school plans to turn things around. But first, let's hear from one of the families returning to Harrington. It's a little after 5 in the afternoon, and Wanda Kemp is in her kitchen getting ready for dinner.
Actually, I'm getting ready to throw in some fish, shrimp, and some baked potatoes, something quick.
Wanda dips the fish fillets in egg. She tosses them with flour and seasoning, and then she gently drops them into the hot oil. Wanda has two kids in Marshall Public Schools. Zariah, her daughter, is a freshman at Marshall High School, and her son Zaire is in third grade at Harrington Elementary. This week, he's been learning about homophones.
List of those. So what was something that was on that list?
Oh, pear and pear.
Okay. Do you know how to spell both of them?
P-A-I-R-P-A-R-E.
Wanda likes what the district is promising at Harrington this year. But after what happened last year, she says there is a lot riding on those promises.
And again, we're going into another principal this year. So you're right back there again. It's new. So we can't just keep saying it's new. It's new. But yet our children are just being moved along in the newness while they're trying to get the bugs ironed out, you know.
Last year was tough for Zaire and for a lot of kids at Harrington. The school had problems with behavior and teacher turnover. Teachers were frustrated by a lack of organization and support. And parents were frustrated with a lack of communication. But the biggest issue for Zaire and a lot of his peers was discipline. There were more than 160 out-of-school suspensions last year. That's at an elementary school with around 260 students. Wanda Kemp says she isn't the kind of parent who excuses her kids' bad behavior.
And I tell him all the time, if you don't change, I'm worried about two places you're going to be. If you continue to go through life like you are now, angry for whatever reason I can't put my finger on, jail, death, those going to be your two options.
But Wanda says it didn't seem like the suspension Zaire racked up actually helped him. She is praying that things are different this year. So let's talk about the changes happening at Harrington this year.
Harrington Elementary, Robert Giles speaking. How can I help you?
Robert Giles is starting his first year as a principal. He moved to Albion in August. Before that, he was an athletic administrator at the Education Achievement Authority. The state-run district in Detroit was shuttered earlier this year after failing to turn around the city's poorest performing schools. Giles has a long list of things he wants to get done at Harrington this year, but he knows first he has some convincing to do.
Just like these kids, these parents in this community have heard a whole lot of talk about a whole lot of things and have not seen anything that would give them any, envision anything to make them think it's going to be any better.
What exactly would better look like? What would it take to make sure kids across the Marshall District got an equitable education, regardless of zip code or family income?
You need to make sure that there's a clear sense of order and safety. That's a kind of starting point.
That's Pedro Noguera. He's an education professor at UCLA, and he's spent decades studying high poverty schools. Noguera says, to be clear, creating a more integrated district is a good thing.
Research shows that both the affluent white children and the low-income children of color should benefit.
Noguera says the transition isn't going to be as simple as just throwing kids together. Marshall has to put relationships at the center of their approach. That means relationships between parents and staff, between students and teachers, and between peers.
It's very important for the school not to see this as somehow beyond their mission. It is essential, a central part of their mission.
The Marshall District has invested in building those connections. High schoolers from the two cities have spent weekends together at Albion College. This year, incoming sixth graders from all four of Marshall's elementary schools spent a week at camp. Still, it is mostly kids from Albion getting bused to Marshall, not the other way around, which means Harrington is still serving a majority Black, almost entirely low-income population. Noguera says that can't be an excuse for the turmoil at the school last year.
It's not as though it's something endemic to those children or to that community.
To turn things around, Noguera says, Harrington has to start by building a positive school climate. Principal Robert Giles says that is his first priority, and he's got lots of ideas about how to do that. But at the top of the list is changing the school's approach to discipline.
It is going to have to be something close to burning a building down for me to put a baby out of this building.
Robert Giles says his first goal is to keep kids in class whenever possible. If a kid is fighting or running out of the classroom, you figure out why. You work with them to resolve that conflict.
And then put them back in class.
So far, Giles has followed through on that promise. There has just been one out-of-school suspension this year. It was for a mental health emergency. Giles says changing the school is going to take more than just connecting with students. It is also going to require staff build relationships with their parents.
Ain't no kids at home throwing mama's chair. Nobody's at home telling, no, I'm not taking out the trash, you do it. I mean, there's a whole different set of consequences at home. So getting folks here to understand that what you behaviors you see here is not necessarily the behaviors you see at home.
Lots of people have told me Albion Public Schools always felt like a family. Your parents would run into teachers in the grocery store or at church. Your principal might live down the street from you. Wanda Kemp says that feeling of community just wasn't there when Marshall took over. She says she kept reaching out to the school to ask how she could help Zaire.
Not even do it for me. I'm asking for direction, guidance. Is there something I need to be doing as a parent to help my child with his education?
Wanda says it felt like she was all on her own. And several weeks in, she started to worry that this year might not be any different. Zaire got in trouble for fighting on the bus. The principal had to get involved. But Wanda said if the bus driver hadn't called her, she'd never have known. She says she never got a call from the school.
Like I said, I reached out to the principal. I have left two messages, and I haven't received a return phone call yet, and I actually told him why I was calling him.
Wanda's weekdays start at 5:30 in the morning. She shuttles Zaire and his sister Zariah to activities and school events. Late at night, she is up helping her kids with homework. And Wanda, as well as a lot of other parents in Albion, does it all on her own.
A lot of us are single parents, and some people, I'm fortunate enough to have a support system, but some people don't even have that.
That's where Carolyn Amos comes in. She's an interventionist at Harrington, and her job is to be that support system for students and their families.
I wear like 15 different hats, and they all fit. So
it's October, and today is fall count day for schools across the state, which means Amos is wearing her student Wrangler hat.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Not bad.
Once the staff has a list of the kids who are absent today, Amos takes over.
Make phone calls to home to kids who did not show up after we done attendance, find out why they're not here, and then find out if I can come and get them.
Amos is an advocate for students and their parents. She connects families to community resources, like help making doctor's appointments or finding housing. She picks up kids and drops them off at home when they can't get a ride. Amos has been doing this job since before annexation, so she was there for the challenges that plagued the school's first year with Marshall. But she says things are different now.
Morale is great. We came in with a full staff. Everybody's doing well. We're happy about everything, and things are changing.
Amos is one of two full-time interventionists at Harrington. The school also has extra classroom aides, a social worker 2 days a week, a full-time school counselor, an extra reading teacher, and a dedicated special ed consultant. Those are supports Marshall's other three elementary schools don't have. And this year, the Marshall District is piloting something new. It's called the Resilient Schools Program, and it's focused on the ways trauma can impact learning. Coaches are working with both parents and teachers to support kids when things outside of school make it harder to learn. Constant changes are one of the things that can make it tougher for kids to learn. And that's something students in Albion have seen a lot of over the past few years. There have been budget and program cuts. Friends and neighbors have left for other districts. The school district their parents, sometimes even their grandparents attended, is gone. But Carolyn Amos says Harrington is moving forward. And she says parents should, too.
What I want people to understand is that annexation is not an issue at all.
Carolyn Amos says if parents want to keep their kids in Albion, they have to focus on making this school the best it can be.
Work with where you are, work with what you have, and do the work.
When Marshall Public Schools annexed the Albion District last year, Superintendent Randy Davis made a promise.
I told the community when we did the annexation, we will have a community school in your town for at least the next 3 to 5 years, and then we'll have to make a decision on how enrollment's going. My preference would be, I'll be talking about how do I add another school.
But if Marshall wants to add another school, or even just keep Harrington open, they have to have enough kids. Which means the district has to reverse a decades-long exodus of students from Albion. That is a heavy lift. Other districts are still sending buses into the city. There is still tension over annexation in the Albion community. There are people who believe annexation isn't working and that it never will. So what's next for families in Albion?
We live here, and we're pretty committed to sort of that idea of living and working and sort of being a part of the community that we're in. And so it's really important to us to support the school that is here. We live two blocks away, and it felt like the right choice to sort of be a part of this place. And so
that's Carrie Minold. She and her husband are both professors at Albion College. They teach in the geology department. And this year, her smiley, blonde, 5-year-old son, Milo, is starting at Harrington.
What are you starting?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. And what are you most excited about kindergarten?
Meeting my new teacher.
I met Carrie and Milo at a picnic a couple of weeks before school started. Menold says sending Milo to Harrington wasn't a hard choice for them. She knows there were challenges at the school last year.
But I think we also are educators ourselves and sort of know that it takes investment, you know, and it takes work to make these kind of things work. And it takes the whole town and to come together around them. So
if Marshall wants other families to make the same choice as Carrie Menold, they have to show parents things really are different this year. Because as Wanda Kemp told me, promises can only get you so far.
But people's not going to keep sitting around waiting when their child's education is dependent on whether, you know, they're successful or not for us trying to wait for them to get the system together. It's not going to be, that's not fair to parents either in the community. But it's some of us, just like I say with myself from last year, was like, okay, we'll try it again this year. We'll see what happened this year. So
I checked back in with Wanda a few weeks ago. She told me Principal Giles had called her not long after we talked. She went to the school and sat down with him and Zaire's teacher. She voiced her concerns and frustrations. And Wanda says she left that meeting feeling like maybe this year was going to be different after all. I'm April Van Buren, and this is Undivided from Michigan Radio.
Undivided was reported and produced by April Van Buren and edited by Sarah Hewlett. Graphics on our web post were created by Kayla Fond and Emma Winowicki. You can find the entire series by going to MichiganRadio.org.